L'Invité de Clark with your host, Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'Invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.
Hello and welcome to L'Invité de Clark. I'm your host, Clark Ady. You know, Brittany, and especially the Finistère, has a large cadre of great musicians. And I've got one here with me today. He's a talented guy who plays the trumpet. You may have seen him around town. His name is Christian Magnusson. He's originally from Sweden. But he's a virtuoso trumpet player, and we love instruments here and at Concarneau and all around the Finistère, the great musicians. So, like a lot of musicians, he has an interesting story to tell, so we're going to go through it today. Welcome, Christian, to the show.
Thank you, Clark, for inviting me.
Well, it's very nice to have you. I know you're a busy guy. You know, with Christian, it's hard to know exactly where to start because he is by birth Swedish. He has been also playing in many other European places, such as Germany. And Christian, tell me, when did you start playing that great trumpet of yours?
I was around 8 years old when it all started with the trumpet.
Yes, and what got you to that particular instrument? Were you attracted to it?
My father had a couple of LPs, jazz LPs at home, among others, Louis Armstrong. And when I heard that tone, I knew that I wanted to do the same thing. So that's how I started.
Is it hard for an 8-year-old to really start? You got to have some wind or some power for to play that, right?
Yeah, but you can start quite early with a trumpet, actually. So 8 years old was not a problem.
I suppose for the parent, it's better than a violin.
Yeah. Maybe a little louder than a violin.
Oh, that's true, yeah. There might be some ear-shattering moments. So at 8, so you had private lessons?
I started just in a small local school in Switzerland.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get there in a second. So you're 8 years old. You left Sweden when you were...
No, so there is something which I need to say, that I was not born in Sweden.
Oh, my goodness.
I was born in Japan. Yeah.
Well, of course.
So this makes it even more confusing. So my father used to work in Japan for a couple of years, and that's when I was born.
Yeah.
And when I was around two and a half, my family moved to Switzerland.
Oh, that's great. What part of Switzerland?
The French-speaking part.
Oh, okay.
Which is very convenient for me now.
Yes.
Since I'm living in France, and it's always good to speak French in France, right?
It certainly is.
You know what I mean, Clark?
Je sais. So, Switzerland, was it Lausanne, you told me?
Yeah, it was between Lausanne and Montreux, to be precise.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's a great spot. Mm. So, you stayed there how long? You went on to...
I moved to Germany when I was around 25. Mm. Yeah, I had finished my studies and wanted to live in a big European country. So Berlin was first choice.
Yeah. Berlin offers a lot of opportunities, I suppose, for musicians.
Yes, at that time it was really, I would say it was really cool to live in Berlin because you could live for, it was not so expensive to live in Berlin at that time and quite... wild or atmosphere, like
good atmosphere.
Yeah. A lot of things happening.
Were you able to join up with somebody and play right away?
Yeah, this happened quite from the beginning. I went to jam sessions and I got to play with people quite soon.
I think when we were talking earlier, you told me you've been in Berlin very recently. Were you playing there too?
I was playing there. I usually go there during the winter time, once in the winter time and once in the summertime to play a few gigs. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So, what's the name of your group?
Well, I still have a few bands in Berlin. Mostly, I'm playing with two other Swedish guys. So we're playing Swedish. We always say we play Swedish music from around the world because. Because we also sing in English and in Swedish. And I have another band called Conexão Berlin. And this is...
Sounds Brazilian.
Yes. It's really... It's jazz, but it's very Brazilian-influenced jazz.
Now, in the summertime, I haven't been to Berlin, but I presume there's outdoor cafes and things you can play different
You can play everywhere in Berlin. There are a lot of clubs, and you can also play outside. Exactly. Yeah.
And what's the Brazilian music like? Is it actually Brazilian music that you're doing?
Yes, it's a mixture between jazz and Brazilian music. The band leader is a person who has been a lot to Brazil and knows the music very well. And since we're talking about this band, I wanted to do some promotion. We're playing in May.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
There are still a few months to go. We are playing on the 4th of May with the association Les Après-midi Jazz.
De Quimper. We know that one, yeah.
So we're playing in Le Terrain Blanc in Penars on the 4th of May. So
Penars.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's going to be a very nice concert. So,
How many are you in that concert?
We are six people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So five are coming from Germany for about a week in Britain.
That's great.
Yeah. So we are doing a few master classes in music schools around.
Very nice. Mm. Yeah.
Among others in Fouenon, where I'm currently teaching the trumpet, and probably some other places which still needs to be.
Yeah, well, maybe if our listeners have some ideas, it might be very good. Yeah, because that's a great opportunity to have professional musicians like that there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely.
Well, okay. I have to tell you, I saw Christian the first time actually play. I met him before, but the first time I saw him play was up in Buzek.
In Buzek. Yes.
And it was quite impressive because he had a group of five guys called Salty Dog.
The Salty Dogs.
So that kind of got me interested. We sat through some great sets of a lot of jazz. And are the Salty Dogs going to play again sometime?
Yeah, we will play next summer. Still thinking about where, but we have a few opportunities.
You had some pretty talented guys in that, too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
So,
The next show, a very, very nice show, will be on the 14th of February.
That's a big day.
In Douarnenez.
Yeah.
We're playing at the MJC in Douarnenez.
Okay.
With a very talented singer and piano player. Her name is Bilor. And she has written music to poetry of all different time slots. So come around on the 14th of February, MJC de Douarnenez.
Where is she from?
She is. She grew up around Paris, I guess, but she has some Creole blood.
Ah, great! Yeah, big. Yeah. Mm. Well, I know we talked about when you started the trumpet, but did you have anything else you wanted to do in your life when you grew up as a kid? Was there always music?
Hard to say. Well, I think I really got seriously into music when I was around 14, 15, listening to jazz. I really started listening to jazz and wanted to play this type of music. And before that, I didn't really have
a goal. Young,
you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm. What was the schooling like in Switzerland? Was it really strict? Was it different than what we have here?
It was strict.
Yeah.
It was strict, and I remember. At a quite early age, we got separated into different groups, like the ones who would study later on and the other ones, you know.
So, a track, yeah.
Exactly. Which is less the case in France, of course, where...
Yeah, it's not done too much, no. Mm. I'm interviewing a great musician from the Finisterre, Christian Magnusson, we're having a good chat about how he got started. At the young age of 8, he started playing the trumpet, and I'll encourage anybody who gets the chance to get out and see him. And we're talking a little bit about some of his concerts coming up. Now, the big question is, you've been in Japan. You've been in Sweden, maybe. You've been in Switzerland. You've been in Berlin. What the heck happened to you? How'd you get to Brittany?
Well, as it often happens, it was because of a woman, because of a love affair. So I met a woman in Berlin who got me to... Well, she's from Bretagne, Finistère, originally. So at a certain point, we had quite young children at home, and we were thinking maybe we could change the setting for them. So we moved to Bretagne and renovated a house in Buzek, which you mentioned
earlier. Yeah, nice
earlier,
fun. Yeah, yeah.
Which is a beautiful place in Cap Sizun.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, not so far away from Douarnenez and on the way to La Pointe du Raz.
That's right, yeah.
Very happy to be there.
Good. Well, you've got a couple of kids and they've been going to school here too, so.
Exactly.
They'll fit in very nicely. You know, some of my family comes from Norway originally. And I had a question that came up to me in a very important place, like I was in the shower or something. I don't know what I was doing. But I started thinking, okay, I got a guy coming from Sweden. I won't tell you the Swedish jokes we have, but the question that came to my mind is, why do they call it Scandinavia? Do you have any idea? I don't know where that word comes from. It's easy to look up, I guess, but isn't that funny?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Clark.
Because I think it's the three countries for sure, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. I'm not sure about if Finland's counted, but...
Finland is not counted.
Yeah.
But Iceland is.
Ah, that's
so
right.
So it's more or less the Viking background and the language, which is not the same in Finland because they have common roots with Hungarian.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, I had the chance to meet some Icelandic people. And I heard them speaking. I thought, this language is quite unusual. But I could tell it was Norse or something like that.
Exactly.
And so I said, we were standing in line, I think, at the airport. And I said, well, what language was that? Just to get him to talk, you know. And he said, oh, we're speaking Icelandic. Of course, he speaks English great. And I said, well, what did you say? Well, we said some stuff so that nobody else would understand us, including all the Norwegians in line.
Have you ever been to Iceland?
Yeah, I'm going back in June, actually. Yeah, have you?
I've been once. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Did you do the interior part? Go around the coast, or?
Yeah, I did some interior and also around the coast. It's yeah,
it must be really spectacular. I was lucky enough to go to Tromsø in Norway a couple of summers ago to see the midnight sun, and that was spectacular.
Up in the north.
Yeah, absolutely spectacular. So, it was always one of my dreams. I think we should go in the winter though, and we should see the Northern Lights.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes, good idea.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Definitely.
So, okay, so we got Swedish, we've got German, obviously, French, German, Irish, English.
English.
And?
And Swedish.
And Swedish, yeah.
Yes.
And Breton.
Breton is, I'm working on it.
Yeah, you really are. Oh, I wish I could speak more of it. It's an interesting language. What's your impression of you know, being a musician and traveling around, do you think it's an easy life, a hard life? What would you say?
Well, I haven't been traveling around so much, like intensively, some periods sometimes, but I guess for people who are traveling around for 200 days per year, it's really tough life.
It's grueling.
Really tough life. So there was a trumpet player who passed away a few years ago, Roy Hargrove. And he always said, we're not getting paid for being on stage. We're getting paid for traveling, for the traveling part.
Yeah, exactly.
Like being on stage is really, it's really the fun part. And but what people often do forget is the traveling part, or when you have to wait for hours before performing and you get tired of performing every night, giving everything you...
In a strange place usually. Yeah. Well, sometimes, unfortunately, artistic people have a tendency to almost self-destruct. And my theory on that is that there's such a high from performing, for being in the spotlight, and for doing the thing you're allowed to do. And then for days, you don't do it.
Yeah.
And you get into these sort of depressed modes, I think, and people look for ways to bring themselves out sometimes.
Yes.
Not very healthy.
And it's just to get into a certain shape when you feel good. You might be extremely tired, but you need to take stuff to be able to play in a good way in front of an audience, which the audience never knows where you come from, what you have been doing the day before, or anything, how much you slept, or how.
No,
you always have to when you're a famous artist, you have to always be on the.
You got to project
on the top.
Yeah, you've got to show who you are. Well, you know, I think it's even true with less famous artists, the amateurs, so to speak, or some professionals who have enough pride. They want to play their best. You know, they don't want to get halfway on a gig. Yeah. So you were giving me an interesting idea about something you want to do with the tuba. Christian, wow. Now, the story with the tuba is really pretty exciting, but you know what? We're out of time. And I don't want to keep the audience on pins and needles, but we're going to have to. If you agree to stay, we'll do it on the next week's program, which we'll record now.
Would be my pleasure.
Well, that'd be great. Okay, well, thanks so much for joining me on part one of Christian Magnusson, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks a lot.
L'invité de Clark, with your host, Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.